Blog Talk Radio.
Reverend Edward Pinckney, the first pastor in the history of mankind to ever be sent to prison for quoting the Bible. But I'm happy today. I live in the city of Benton Harbor, and this is a real war zone. I just want to tell you, this is a real war zone. You would not believe what is going on here in the city of Benton Harbor. The governor has come in with her troops and taken over the city, brought in a financial manager to destroy the city. During that time, we went out and called for a mass demonstration to show them that we are for real about what we're doing. I tell you, it was a brutal attack by Jennifer Granholm. She's now being or saying that she's on the short list to become a Supreme Court judge. She is a known racist. She's been this way for years and have gotten away with it. But I'm here to tell you that my goal is to stop her from ever being on that Supreme Court. And I'm asking the people that's out there listening today to please step in and stop Jennifer Granholm from ever being considered ever again for a Supreme Court judge. We need your help. The city of Benton Harbor needs your help. We're crying out to the public, trying to get help, but we need you. We need you to come in and do the things that's necessary to help support what the residents of Benton Harbor are doing. It has been a rough week for the citizens of Benton Harbor. We've been moving quite fast, though, trying to stop this takeover. What they want to do now, she had partnership with Whirlpool Corporation, the world's largest washer and dryer, stove, and refrigerator company in the world. Matter of fact, they have a monopoly. They own 74% of all washer and dryers. Yes, they do. And yet the governor has sit silent. What are we going to do? What are the people going to do? When are the people going to take a stand and do something in reference to this? It's time that we took a stand and did things that had to be done in order to make this thing a reality. Listen, we need the help of the people. We need the people to move forward and to make sure they understand that we're moving in. Listen, August the 10th, I want everybody to put this on your calendar. August the 10th, we're going to meet in Benton Harbor at 10 a.m. We're scheduling a mass demonstration. We want everybody to come from all over the country. We want to make sure when they open that golf course on August the 10th that we be there. And I'm going to need your support. I'm going to need your help in order to make this thing a reality. So put that on your date, on your calendar, August 10th in Benton Harbor, Michigan, at 10 o'clock in the morning, we're going to have a mass demonstration. We're going to show this governor, Jennifer Granholm. We're going to call her exactly what she is, and she's a racist. And what we need to do, we need to get people moving, standing up to fight. Because what's happened in Benton Harbor is the first stepping stone that was happening all over the country. So we are asking for your help at this time, and we're willing to take it to the next level if we can and see how things are going. Let me go to one of my callers right now. Hello, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Reverend Pinckney here.
Hi, Reverend Pinckney. This is Valerie. How you doing?
How you doing, Valerie? How's things going?
Well, it's hanging in there.
Is anything you need to tell me today?
I'm right there. I'm writing it down on my calendar. I'm going to try to be there if the Lord's will. I want
Please.
To be with you. If my physical body can't be there, my prayers will be with you.
Well, hey, that's a start, and what we want to do, I want you to tell other people. Especially up in Detroit, we got a large following from Detroit who actually is interested in what we're doing down here. Matter of fact, I was in Ann Arbor on Saturday with several people from Detroit, Ann Arbor, and around the state, And our goal is to let people know that August the 10th, we're going to kick this golf course off the way it should. You know, you know a little bit about Governor Granholm. So what she have done, she have came into our city and have promoted this hostile takeover of our community. And the reason why that she's taken over the city of Benton Harbor is that now we have 6 votes who won't let Whirlpool continue to steal land from us. And she, her goal is to stop us from making sure that Whirlpool get whatever they want. And we just discovered that Whirlpool has stole $174,000 worth of water. They had spliced into our water supply and was getting free water for their golf course. And they were just busted on that. They were saying that it was a mistake. The person died, forgot to pay the bill. We talking about $174,000.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's a lot of water, I would say.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but the point is they so used to getting away with what they want, they got the backing of this governor and she's getting herself $1 million home down here in Benton Harbor free. So you know that she's in full support of whatever they do. And it goes on and on and on and on. When do we, the people, take a stand and say enough is enough? But you remember this. What happened down here in Benton Harbor happens up there in Detroit. It's just a matter of time before they do a hostile takeover of Detroit.
Right.
It's just a matter of time. And what they're trying to do here, they're trying to make sure that all African Americans is ran out of this city. And they're on the move. What they're doing now is so incredible that, you know, a person would never believe what's happening here unless you live here. Every company that had, like, jobs, we had 8 people from AutoZone. Now, AutoZone is a multi-billionaire company. And what they did, they went out and fired 8 blacks for no reason because they was black. Huh, you think that's something? Then we got Dawson Manufacturer. They went out and fired 8 blacks because they were black. And then they hung a noose right in the shop.
Oh, my God.
Right. And the newspaper wouldn't cover it because it was white folks doing it.
Right, right.
You know, but like I tell them all the time, look, I don't care whether you black, white, pink, yellow, whatever color you think you might be. If you do wrong, you need to pay the penalty.
So true.
So what we're doing now, we're steering up now. We're getting folks together so we can have this mass demonstration on August the 10th. That's a Tuesday. So it might be tough for some folks to get off work, but please, I'm giving everybody enough time to make arrangements to make sure that they tag along. Because we need folks to come forward. We need people to stand because if something happened up in Detroit, they can always count on me to come up there.
Right.
You know, anything inside the state, only reason inside the state because I can't leave the state without permission.
Right.
So if I could leave the state, I'll fly all over the country to help folks, you know, because I believe that we have to stick together.
That's
we right. have to do it.
We have to.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
As a people, we need to stick together because this is our land as well. We worked hard. Our forefathers worked hard for us to be able to have and hold. That's our constitutional right. And so we do need to stick together as a people.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Valerie, you're saying something, you know. And the reason why we get kicked around so much because we're not together on anything.
That's so true.
We're so busy fighting with each other over nothing. And that has created the problem, you know. But, hey, here's what I do. I believe in taking a stand for what's right. If it's right, you can always count on me to do it. I mean, because this is what I believe, and my heart is in the right place for it.
So true.
Wow.
I feel the same way, Reverend Pickney. If it's right, then I stand, and I will not back down.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you just said, you know, as a people, we fight among ourselves, and if we can apply that same energy, stop fighting among ourselves. We shouldn't be fighting one another, but we should be together to fight against what is being done to one another.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And here's something that a lot of people don't know. Our school system. You see, the school system leads to the prison system if we don't get it right.
That's right.
You know, and that's where it is. Well, you know, when you think about the school system, not just here in Benton Harbor, I'm talking about up in Detroit, I'm talking about Ann Arbor. Matter of fact, we was talking about that yesterday when I was up there. They want me to come up there and speak at their school board, and I say, well, you know, we'll see about that. But I'm willing to do whatever need to be done. And here we talking about, you know, like here in Benton Harbor, miseducation of students. Or lack thereof, method used to improve low test scores, lack of effective and consistent disciplinary measures, low ratio of African-American teachers to student, teachers layoff, overcrowded classroom. Our children deserve good leadership and the best opportunity to attain knowledge that develops the gifts and talent needed to become productive citizens in society. On behalf of the community, we desire a more productive outcome for the upcoming school year. Therefore, we could like to arrange with them a meeting. What I would like to do, I would like to go to every city and discuss the plan that the method that they plan on using, because the old one didn't work, and
right.
It's not working.
I agree.
You know, so we need to do something different. Here in Benton Harbor, what they did, they lower the expectation of the students. That's ridiculous.
Right.
It's ridiculous. I mean, you're going to know, even if you raise it a little bit, at least you can expect them to do a little bit better. They won't. They lower the rate now so low that a person can actually graduate from high school with about a 1.5 grade point average.
Mm-mm. You can't.
That's ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
You know, but the point is we accept it. Anything we accept, that's got to be the way it is. See, look, Valerie, we have to take this thing to a whole different level. And we got to show these people that we're capable of standing up to these people. Big government have taken all this money. This state is $1.8 billion in the red. $1.8. This governor had ran this state almost to the dogs. And talking about Obama got her on his short list for her to be Supreme Court Justice. He must be out of his mind. Even put her on that list. You know, she's not qualified, number one. And number one, she's about as crooked as a person can get. She's basically a Republican dressed up in a Democrat suit. She comes down here, she mingles with the Republicans. This lady is something else. She just outright lies. She don't tell the truth. Talking about what she have done for Benton Harbor. What she have done for Benton Harbor, she have ran the city into the ground and used these old preachers. That's exactly what she have done. She have used these preachers, giving them gas cards to take people to the polls in their van when the election time, when she was running in 2006, I believe it was. And that's illegal.
Yes, it is.
That's illegal. You got to have separation in state, and you can't pay people to do stuff like that. That's illegal. How you look at? But the point is, who gonna put her on the carpet? These ministers around here, they don't even understand that they have broken the law.
Right.
You see, but somebody will one day. It's just a matter of time. That's how I look at it. It's just a matter of time before things really go haywire. But how's things going for your friend?
Well, it's not going too great for him. As you know, Reverend Pinckney, he's been in there for quite some time. They gave him a minimum of 3.5, and his maximum is 15.
Mm-hmm.
He's in 2 years already, you know. Like you said, Reverend Pinckney, who's going to call these people out?
Mm-mm.
You know? This is, they're doing this to our people.
Yeah.
And when our people stand up and take aware and the notice at what is being done, they believe the system has mentally suppressed our people,
mm-hmm.
that they feel that they have no rights and they can't take a stand because of the illegal tactics that they take to suppress our people. You know, I watch the news constantly, and I see all the different appeals that come up, you know, that whom they want, they apply for appeal in the instant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they get a response.
Yes.
This man has applied for, his appeal has been heard through the Court of Appeals.
Uh-huh.
So his next step would be to the Supreme Court, but it's been over 6 months. You
mm-hmm.
know, it doesn't take that long. He has a very simple case, you know, but it's like you said, you know, they're grooming the judge to go to a higher place, like Granholm. They
mm-hmm.
want him to be in a higher position. He's looking for being at the Supreme Court as well,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
trying to groom him. So at that point, they need to continue to hold this man illegally incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
let me ask you a question. Did they reject his appeal?
They tried to hide it up under the rug. They tried to not acknowledge it. We
mm-hmm.
had to file a S-95 in order to get them to actually acknowledge it. They swept it, tried to sweep it up on the rug as
mm-hmm.
though he did not file an appeal, that there was no appeal filed. But
is that right?
Produced, yes. After
wow.
The evidence and the original copies, because I personally myself walked his appeal papers to the Court of Appeal.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just crazy.
Wow. Who did him for him?
Is looking into this.
Mm. Who did it for him?
He did his own appeal.
Oh, he filed his own?
He filed his own appeal because the SATO attorney, as you know, a court-appointed attorney,
mm-hmm.
you have no income and no funds, so you would have to get a state-appointed court.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
From SATO, you're absolutely correct. That's
who
they use. They use SATO.
Right, SATO, which is nothing but the state. The state is prosecuting you.
Yeah, but you
so
know,
you get a state attorney to represent you.
Here's something a lot of people don't know. See, that's where you come in. Like,
right.
I know he probably didn't know this, but he had to apply pressure to SATO to make him work.
Right.
You see, one thing about SATO and all these court-appointed attorneys, if you don't put pressure on them, they're not going to do anything.
Right.
You see,
right.
And that's just not on the appeal level. That's on the regular court-appointed attorney levels, too.
Period.
Yeah.
That's it. And right, like you said, people don't realize that because they give you a SATO attorney, you know, your court appearance, your court appeals, your court trials, your pleas are all pushed back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not fair. You know, it should be first come, first serve.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're convicted or if you're caught, let me say this, if you're caught committing a crime today, okay, and I'm going to just use that as an example, I'm just hypothetically speaking right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you're caught committing a crime today and tomorrow another individual was caught committing a crime.
The same crime?
The same crime. We're just using this hypothetically, okay?
Okay.
And then, let me see, okay, today's Sunday, so Monday, another individual, and then say Tuesday, a different individual, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But because Sunday's individual who committed the crime is a low income or
homeless or whatever,
tax-paying citizen, or maybe, yeah, a low tax-paying citizen, let's say that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Monday victim criminal is a non-paying tax citizen.
Okay.
Okay. And the Tuesday criminal is a well-paying tax citizen, opposed to their case as being individual as it come, taking it first come, first serve case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Talk to me.
To apply for a court hearing, okay, which you are due, you're innocent to proven guilty, but your case doesn't come up because the Sunday case would not come up until 6 months later.
Mm.
And the individual who committed the crime on Monday, his won't come up hypothetically, a year later. Mm. But the Tuesday individual who committed the crime, his case come up Thursday. There is something wrong with that picture.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, money talks. And then they have their friends. You know, most of these courts, the judges, the court-appointed attorneys, the prosecutors and stuff like that, they're all buddy-buddy. And if somebody come in, they know somebody come in with a little money, they're going to definitely lean towards that person. That's one of the reasons why I'm fighting right now in the against these court-appointed attorneys. I want the state. That's Jennifer Granholm once again. She's been sued by the ACLU, and here's the issues. These court-appointed attorneys do not want to do what they're supposed to do. They do not even talk. They don't even talk to their client, the defendant, until they come before the judge. And then the first word come out of their mouth, they got too much evidence against you, plead guilty. And this guy haven't did anything.
Right.
But yet society accepts it.
Right.
I mean, see, I blame people don't never want to get involved with anything until something happened to them. Then
right.
they want everybody to drop what they're doing and help them. It don't work that way.
No.
You're dealing with a monster here.
Right.
And when I say a monster, I mean, remember the movie Rodan and Godzilla first came out, and they
mm-hmm.
were showing that nobody could kill these monsters?
Right.
That's what we're fighting right now. Like when Rodan and Godzilla first came out, you know, nobody could kill. We can't kill this monster because we won't work together.
That's so true.
And as soon as we start working together, and that's why I'm trying to connect everybody from Detroit down to Benton Harbor. And your issue is my issue.
That's right.
And my issue should be your issue.
Look,
we don't have the resources to fight them.
No, we
but
don't
we
have,
got the manpower.
We have one another.
That's what I'm saying. We got something that they don't have.
Right.
We got manpower.
Right.
And as soon as we start standing up, and I'm gonna talk about my people right now.
Mm-hmm.
Black folks.
That go for it.
The only time that they want to take a stand is something happened to them or their children. They know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
They know that everything is targeted against them. They got a bullseye right on their back. And they know this, but yet and still, they refuse to take a stand on anything if it doesn't affect them. And sit down and giggle and laugh like everything is so funny. Ain't nothing funny in this world.
No, it's not.
You
no,
know,
it's not.
What we have done, we have allowed our children, that's who they after. They after our children. That's who they're trying to destroy.
They're gonna make their wealth and their livelihood,
mm-hmm.
care their children and their children's children off of us.
Yeah.
When we don't stop and realize what's happening, you know, they tell us to leave them alone. If you don't have nothing to do with them, then we might let them out.
Mm-hmm.
No, you ain't going to let them out. You should let them out whether it's right.
Mm.
If it's right, they should be out.
I tell you, Valerie, one of the worst things that I can ever, that I ever witnessed in my life, when I go to Barron County Court, I go there every single day and the court watch, and if you go up there and see these young kids shackled, I mean, at first it tore my heart up, and then you get used to it because you're seeing it so often. You see kids 9 and 10 and 11, and guess what? They're shackled up, not because they done did something to hurt somebody. It's maybe because they ran away, or maybe they went in the store and stole some bubble gum or something, and they take them to the juvenile center here. Just anytime that man, someone, a child does, or a person does anything here, if it was a child or adult, you could steal a pack of gum here. You know, you gonna be held accountable here. Especially if that storekeeper say he want to press charges. 35 cents, a dollar, don't make a difference. But it also, remember this, it keeps them working. It don't keep us working because we don't have these jobs.
We don't have the job.
No.
We don't have the job.
And here's the language they're using here. We don't have nobody in our community qualified. Are you telling me that you don't have nobody in this community qualified to be a probation officer? You don't have nobody qualified to be the drive around there? You don't have here in the city of Benton Harbor. The newspaper helped them defile the people.
And,
you see,
and our people don't understand it.
No,
if they stop and watch the news, they too busy watching all the comedy shows.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And believe me, I like the gentleman Tyler Perry.
Yes.
Okay, but this is ridiculous.
Right.
You know. Stop watching all this and look at what's really happening. The news is not telling you. They will not report our stories. I just witnessed a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to tell you what happened, Reverend Pinckney, and you won't believe this. And this was our people. I just witnessed an individual being harassed and was beaten by the police, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I tried to report it. I got to tell you the story so you can really understand.
Okay, well, take your time because you got time to tell it.
Okay. The individual, I do real estate. I'm a licensed real estate.
Okay.
I sold a house next door to me to one of my clients. Okay. He's trying to comply with the city notice. The city notice asked him to board up the garage, you know. And he was trying to comply with the city notice, and he was boarding up his garage. The police, he came, it was that night, about 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
I was asleep. But I knew about him having to board up the garage because he called me and told me that they had, you know, he had got a notice, and I told him just do it because they're trying to crack down on the people about their properties and taking responsibility for their property. So when you get a chance, board it up before the notice date. And that was that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But anyways, he was out there boarding up. If he hadn't had a friend with him, okay, they was gonna lie and use that incident and say that he was using the Patriot Act, okay,
mm-hmm.
to lock this man up illegally after they done beat him. Okay.
Did they beat him?
Let me finish telling you. Yes,
okay, finish
did.
Telling me. See, I'm getting excited now because I want to get to the beat.
I got to get to the rest of it.
Okay, well, take your time.
Tell you all of it.
Okay.
The gentleman, when the police was out there arresting him, he was telling them, "This is my house." The
uh-huh.
police, and this is sad because it was the policeman was an African American. This was sad.
But what difference do that make? Because mostly if they are, they with government, they usually be against you.
Right, right.
I mean, that's the mentality that they possess.
Right,
you
right.
see, I have found out, like, here, you almost have to make them be honest.
Right.
The black cops. You have to make them be honest.
So
that's how, and that's how I do. And that's what I do. I make them honest.
That's what I do. That's exactly what I do. But anyways, to make a long story short, they had the gentleman. It was two cops. I didn't even know it was two cops. Because I only seen one officer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I seen the young lady. The young lady came and beat my door down and woke me up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let me go to the front because they was arresting Jason.
Yeah.
Okay? Trying to arrest him for boarding up his house. So I go to the front of my house, and sure enough, there's a police car out there. There's Jason's car. Jason standing at the back of the car, you know, in handcuffs, and the back door was open, and the policeman was standing at the front of the car by the headlights,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the back of Jason's car, because you know how they always park in an angle and
right.
you know, try to cut you off. So anyways, mm-hmm. by that time, the young lady had ran back, so she was at the back of the car, I mean at the front of the car with the police officer by that time. So I open the door, and I tell the policeman, "Mr. Policeman, whatever this man is telling you, it is true. That is that man's house. He owns that house." The policeman looked directly at me, ain't said nothing. So by this time, the young man was kind of upset. So he hollered out to me and said, go in the house and get my keys and get my paperwork, because this, he said, damn fool, don't believe me.
Mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I turns around, go in the house, and gets his, I looked at the police and looked at him. They still got him in hand, because it ain't like he walking towards him to say, okay, well, let me release this man, you know. So I goes back in the house, come back with his papers, and Mr. Austin, I'm handicapped. I can't get down my front stairs. If you come over here,
mm-hmm.
here's the proof this man owned this house.
Yeah.
When I said that, that man ran from the front of the car to the back of the car and slammed, Jason just took him and slung him in that car. And I know he had to hit his head or something, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? The way he just forcefully put him in that car.
Uh-huh.
And then took off like a bat out of hell. Jumped in the car and took off like a bat out of hell.
Shut up.
From what Jason told me, okay, so I'm sitting there like, what was that? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, I've just been woken up, dead sleep, okay? So I go, okay. And so the girl, she started passing, no, honey, just come on. You can come on up these stairs. Come on in.
Mm-hmm.
I got the paperwork. Give me a minute. Let me slip on my clothes right quick. And we'll go up to, they got to take them up here to the 11th precinct right here on Nevada.
Yeah.
And Mound, between Mound and Ryan.
Yeah.
Right behind the prison, so
mm-hmm.
you know where I'm talking about. Anyway, so it was, I wasn't even maybe 10 minutes behind them, okay? And
mm-hmm.
I said, well, you driving, you're going to have to drive me because I don't feel good. But
yeah.
So anyways, we goes right up there with the proof. Come to find out, they won't let him go. Why is you holding this man? For what? Here's the proof. You know, you have one of my clients in jail for nothing.
Okay.
Okay? Oh, now, he's not going to be released. Jason had finally, when he did get out, he told me, he said that they took him, when they took off, they stopped between Sherwood and Mount
mm-hmm.
Elliott somewhere there and jumped out the car and bust him in the mouth, took his flashlight and beat him in the mouth.
No.
Feel his teeth. Yes, it did. So when I get up to the police station, I says, what are you
going to do? Hold on. Let me get this straight. You mean to tell me they took that flashlight, hit him in his mouth?
Yes, they did. So I tried to, you know, I'm trying to help assist this man because I know they done made a mistake. You know,
mm-hmm.
so I'm really thinking it's an innocent mistake. Don't know that they done did this, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I asked for a sergeant, a lieutenant. Or a captain.
Yeah.
They going to tell me, ain't no lieutenant, ain't no captain. Only a sergeant. I can only talk to the sergeant. I said, huh?
You should ask for a general then.
Wait a minute. Look, I said, isn't there an inspector or somebody? It got to be somebody higher on the shift than the sergeant. I said, well, okay, I'll talk to the sergeant. I said, told the sergeant, and I wrote the sergeant name down. I said, hi, and I told her who I was, and I said, I was just awakened because of an incident that just took place next door to me. I says, one of my clients, you know, and I explained to her. I says, would you please release this man? I says, here's the proof. That is that man's house, and, you know, there was no reason to lock him up. What was he locking him up? Well, he was disruptive and disturbing the peace and abusive. To the point, I said, wait a minute, he was not disturbing no peace. You know, I witnessed this.
Yeah, because you live next door.
Right. I said, I was dead asleep. If he was disturbing the peace, it would have woke me up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
I said, no, I was waking up from this young lady beating my door down, telling me the police was trying to arrest him
mm-hmm.
for his house. And I tried to show the police the proof, and the police wouldn't accept it. Okay? Wouldn't listen. Now, would you please release this man? Then she's going to say, no, because charges is going to be brought up against him. For what? Oh, we can't tell you that. Okay, excuse me, why you can't tell nobody now all of a sudden?
Is it a secret?
It's a secret now they're being locked up, the reason and what they're being charged for, and only the prisoner can tell you. Well, how can a prisoner tell you when you don't let them make a phone call and they only get one phone call? Remember that.
Mm.
On their time when they allowed them to have a phone call.
Wow.
So I'm like, ma'am, what do you mean I cannot, I don't know what, you can't inform me of what he's being charged in. I says, okay, well, you're just going to have to deal with our detention is closed, so you're going to have to go to the other precinct and wait until he gets there, okay? So, okay, I go to the other precinct on Gratiot and Gaston to report them, okay, for what they did, you know, by not acknowledging, okay, that this is this man's property and that they're holding this man illegally, okay? And
I got
that, that, you know, they would not disclose why they're holding this man, okay? I gets to the other precinct, so we drive there and it's left in 10 minutes again, you know, from one precinct to the other, go over there, and, oh, they just get downright crazy with us. Talk really nasty and stupid. I asked for
I'm saying these are black officers too.
These are black officers. Now the lieutenant ended up being a white officer.
Okay.
Okay. When I finally did, the black officers, they ignored me, you know, and so I stood there. They told me, "Well, just have a seat." No, this ain't no time to have no seat. You got a man locked up for nothing. Okay. And these people over here is acting very nasty, rude, and, you know, let's do something.
Yeah.
Here, I want to sell it to somebody right now. This ain't no criminal.
Mm-hmm.
You got a taxpaying citizen here that's trying to comply with a city notice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You feel me? So anyway, I went on and tried to pursue the avenue and showing it. The lieutenant was so disgraceful and nasty with me because I showed him, and he didn't even know what he was looking at. Talking about, well, show me a title company that he owns his property. I showed him the title company. He read it and couldn't understand the title.
And probably got mad because you had it.
That's what it was.
He got mad because, yeah, because most of the time we when we go to a place like that, we don't have ourselves together.
Right.
And it just so happened that you had yourself together. And,
right.
And you know, and what you're saying is great for our listeners to know, because this is how they operate. This is the crap that we have to stop. This is the crap where we have to pull together. I don't care nothing about no law enforcement when they're doing wrong. When they're doing wrong, we have to step to the plate and make them do right.
That's right.
And if
That's
we
right.
don't step to the plate to make them do right, they're going to continue doing wrong. And I know how they are. You
right.
See,
and, right, and they try to trump up so they'll start putting charges on
lying.
Them.
That's
okay?
What he said. They'll start lying.
They're using the Patriot Act, that improper disclosure, to contain us, okay, into the prison system, okay? So we as a people need to wake up. You know, the Patriot Act, it is good, but it's good for our terrorists, okay? Don't use it against your own people, for we're not terrorists.
Well, you're no longer his people.
Right.
See, when they start, most cops, I'm not going to say all of them, because, you know, we do have some decent ones.
Yeah.
But we got some so bad that when they take the stand, you expect everything to come out of their mouth to be a lie.
Right, right.
You know, and what they do, rather than tell the truth, hey, let the chips fall where they may. If a person did something, he should be found guilty. If he didn't do something, don't lie and say he did it and you know he didn't do it.
That's what
we're faced with. We're
right.
faced with stuff like that. And look, I don't really blame them that much. I blame us. We don't
That's right.
nothing. We keep letting these folks get away. We don't hold them accountable for their action.
They're
and
not.
It goes on and on and on and on. Valerie, it's time that we take a stand. I'm going to be at that social forum up there in Detroit. And, you know, we're expecting about 20, 30,000 folks to be there. And you know, we're going to get a chance to say some things that never been said before. And I'm hoping I'm going to be right in the middle of it.
What day is that?
It starts on June 22nd to June 26th. It's a four or five days event.
Okay.
June 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th.
Okay.
It's going to be at Cobo Hall, around in that area.
Okay.
You see? So that should be real exciting.
Oh, yes, definitely. Because I'm praying, Lord, hold his body up, because there are some things and there are some issues here within our city, within our government, you know, that within our state, okay, that we need to start addressing, okay? Like I said, again, you know, all these police officers who are here standing for right,
mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
are representing that uniform they wear is for correct.
That's right. That's
okay?
right.
But you're wearing it backwards.
You have defiled that uniform. The word is you have defiled that uniform in your community.
In your community.
That's
right. So our children look at what you're doing. We see what you're doing.
I remember when kids used to want
to
be police officers.
What you have is a broken up relationship here with society.
Mm-hmm.
Because they see what you're doing, okay? If they see the police is taking money and going in the drug house and getting the money, okay, what do they think?
Oh.
Well, that's where the money at.
Right.
That's where the job
right.
at.
Right, and that's what I should be doing.
That's what I should be doing. You're not teaching them. You're not setting an example. And we need to correct this. And as a people, if we stand up and correct this, you know, giving count for them judges and them officers and them lawyers when they're doing wrong or illegally prosecuting somebody or locking up somebody, make them giving count for that. Don't pat them on or cover it up. That's wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know? And as a people, we got to stand up, you know. And now I have to go back to Mr. Austin's case. You know, I witnessed something that transpired in his case.
With the police.
With the police and with the attorney and with the judge.
Mm-hmm.
I just happened to be, the Lord just happened to put me in the place, okay? And I tried to do the same thing like Mr. Jason, you know, wait a minute. That ain't what transpired. That ain't what took place. You know, this is what I saw. This
mm-hmm.
is what happened. Okay? When I tried to tell that and tried to say, hold up, you know, you guys doing this wrong. This is wrong. You know, instead, I got pressed.
Mm.
They started pressing me. I started getting tickets. Okay?
Is that right?
Okay. Okay.
See
Valerie,
that's
my own stuff, okay?
Right, but that's when the community need to step up. The only way you can stop these folks, you have to pull this thing together.
I keep trying, but they have them brainwashed.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, you got Maureen.
They're gonna do this. So what?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Valerie, do you know Maureen Kramer?
Yes.
Right.
I spoke with Maureen.
Why don't you get with them?
I went down there. I've been calling them. I keep telling them.
Don't just call them. Go down there and join their organization.
I have joined their organization, and I keep telling them, look, I'm wherever I'm needed, a lot of times because of my physical handicap, I can't always go, okay, because by the time I just kind of take care of myself, my body be done broke down, okay?
Oh, I understand.
So I
believe me.
So much, so long, okay? And I tell him, I said, but, you know, I'm versatile with the phones, with the computer, you know, and I can be assistance. What do you want my hands to do? You know, I'm willing to help.
Okay.
You know, and
well,
I
here,
can
here's what
you.
I'm going to do.
Valerie,
here's what I'm going to do. When I come down there on the 22nd, I'm going to get with you. I'm going to get with Maureen, Marion and Maureen. I'm going to get with that whole gang. I'm going to hook you up. That way you have some people to help protect you. They're going to do it because they are personal friends of mine.
Okay.
And if anybody in this world loved me, I think General and Marion Kramer loves me.
All right. Okay.
And what I'm going to do, now, you know, I want you to hold me to this, and I'm going to hold you to it.
Oh, yeah.
I want you to make sure you be there on the 22nd, because I'll be there on the 22nd. Matter of fact, the homeless people.
I'll make sure I do not do nothing the day before so that I can be able to be functional. So I'll rest up so that that be my only day that I will be available. If, you know, I'm not saying that it will be, but I'm just saying I don't know how my body, because I have a nerve damage.
Uh-huh.
So I can turn today, what I do today, I may not be able to do 15 minutes from now.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, and that when that nerve hit in there, when they get locked up in there, I can't do nothing. Then I'm kind of just stuck, okay?
Oh, yeah, so, believe me, I understand. You know, and when I sit that back and think about the police and I think about them just taking over this city of Benton Harbor, and see, my nerves get stuck. I mean, when I say my nerves get stuck, it gets stuck because sometimes you can just think about what they're doing. And my thing is that, why do we stop them? We stop them with manpower. See,
right.
That's something
right.
that we have to do. And that's why this social forum is so important. And
right.
that's why
right.
we have to stop them.
We
have to take this thing to a whole different level and show these folks. See, you can show them better than you can tell them.
That's
because
right.
when you tell them, they don't listen. But when you show them, see, that's why August the 10th is so incredible. Whatever you do, be here August the 10th.
I will. I'm going to rest. I put it on the calendar. Since I got it on the calendar,
mm-hmm.
I know what's going to happen, transpire. So I try not to do anything so I can
mm-hmm.
make it to that, you know, to whatever I have on my calendar.
Absolutely.
I try not to do anything. Because I know what my do's and don'ts is, what I'm capable of doing. So
Valerie, that's beautiful.
I got it on the calendar.
Valerie, can you hold that thought? You got August on your calendar. I got another caller. Just hold on. Don't hang up.
I won't.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, how do you do? This is Libby. I wanted to read something.
Go right ahead.
Okay, this is actually about Reverend Pinckney as president of the NAACP chapter in Benton Harbor, St. Joe, Michigan. So Reverend Pinckney has been taking some action in a very positive and clever way since he's been president of this chapter, which is fairly recent. One of the things that he's been doing is, well, let's see, we'll start with the Herald Palladium, which is the newspaper in his area, which many of us call either the Herald Pollution rather than the Herald Palladium. We say it's the company paper of Whirlpool Corporation in his area, which controls everything. But Reverend Pinckney wrote to the owners of the Herald Palladium, which are the Paxton Media Group in Kentucky, and he explained the dishonest and slanted journalism practiced by the Herald Palladium and requested a meeting. And surprisingly, the Herald Palladium called him and set up a meeting, which took place about a week and a half ago. And Reverend Pinckney took 10 Herald Palladium articles to the meeting with sections highlighted. And he asked the managers of the Herald Palladium, how did those sections relate to the article? His point was to say that they don't have anything to do with the article. For example, mentioning negative things about him, or calling, having an article which related somehow to the Muslim religion, and then just interjected into the article that it was a hate group, and how does that have anything to do with the article? So that was mostly what Reverend Pinckney tried to point out in these 10 articles, that they kept interjecting negative things about Benton Harbor or Benton Harbor residents or Reverend Pinckney or Muslims, and to say this doesn't have anything to do with the point of this article. And surprisingly, the Herald Palladium people agreed with him on almost every single section that he had highlighted. And for about a week and a half now, since that meeting, the reporting in the Herald Palladium is much more objective and fair. So that was a really good thing. Another thing that Reverend Pinckney did is he sent a letter to Walmart National Headquarters and he has a telephone meeting with them this coming week. And it relates to a 40-year-old Benton Harbor man who was an employee at Walmart and had a heart attack on the job. The bosses would not let him go home and said he'd be fired if he did.
Oh, my God.
Later he got home, and then he went to a doctor who said he had a mild heart attack. He had had one at work. Well, then he went back and worked for two more weeks and died at home. Reverend Pinckney feels that Walmart will have to agree to a settlement for this family.
Yes.
So that's another good thing that he's done, using his position as president of this newly formed NAACP chapter. A third thing is there are two places in the Benton Harbor area, AutoZone and Dawson Manufacturing. They have recently both fired between eight or nine black employees recently. And in fact, a white boss was heard at, I believe, AutoZone saying to a white employee, "Hey, turn black so I can fire you." Reverend Pinckney sent letters to both of these places requesting meetings immediately. Another thing, he sent letters to the Benton Harbor School Board, one letter to every member requesting a meeting. And this is sorely needed because there are really serious issues regarding unfair firing and mistreatment of teachers, very harsh penalizing of black students, like you can't come back to school, you know, for doing whatever. Apparently Whirlpool Corporation over the years has been recruiting the people that they want for, you know, like superintendent and people in charge of the schools.
Right.
And then the last thing that I heard Reverend Pinckney has done as president of the NAACP chapter is he's been having weekly protests on Mondays, I guess three of them so far, at Benton Harbor City Hall. And they have they're holding signs at these protests encouraging the governor, Governor Granholm of Michigan, to remove Joseph Harris. Now, he's a state financial manager from Lansing, the capital.
Actually from Detroit.
He's from Detroit, okay. So Governor Granholm has forced a financial takeover of Benton Harbor recently, and this is her man. She sent Joseph Harris down to become the financial manager of Benton Harbor, when in fact the city manager and the city councilors were doing fantastic work helping to turn the city around. But the problem was the governor felt she had to get involved because the city councilors and the city councilors were recently elected, and they, for the first time in maybe decades, they have a majority of city councilors in Benton Harbor who are not in favor of Whirlpool. They are not stooges for Whirlpool. They won't be bought by Whirlpool. And Whirlpool needs more land from Benton Harbor for their massive development called Harbor Shores. And so the governor, who is very tight with Whirlpool, she got involved right away when these new city councilors were elected, and they could see things weren't going to go their way. And she said, uh-oh, have to have a financial takeover in Benton Harbor. So during the protest on Monday, just this past Monday, it must be Joseph Harris, the new financial manager, called the governor and said, "Oh, they're having a protest, and they have my name on their signs." The governor then called, guess who, the Detroit NAACP, who then called Pinckney while he was protesting and asked, "What are you doing?" And he told them he was doing what was needed to be done down there in that particular area, Harbor. And they replied, "But that's direct action." And he replied, "Yes, it is." They told him he needed to call them the next time he planned on doing that. So he reported that, to me anyways, that he would call them maybe after the next time he planned on doing that. When it was over, he would call them. But, you know, it's crazy that the NAACP, which is supposed to be advocating for justice,
right,
is telling Reverend Pinckney that he shouldn't be doing direct action? Excuse me.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you know, and you know what? If they stood up and did what they're supposed to do, we wouldn't be in this compromising position.
We wouldn't be in this situation. No, we
wouldn't. No, we would not be in there because there's too many Jesse Jacksons around here. And Al Sharpton who don't want to do nothing and want to be the voice of the people when you're not even the voice of your for yourself.
You're
being controlled by these corporations.
And stand for the people.
That's right. But then but the media make them heroes.
Right.
You see, the corporate media make these guys heroes knowing that they are not doing anything to help the communities.
Right.
You see,
right.
But here's the worst part. We accept it. So
right.
If we accept it, we just as bad as they are.
Right. And that, see, that's one of the issues, Reverend Pinckney, that, like I said, I have to bring this back up. The issue with Mr. Austin's case.
Yes.
You know, I've been fighting. I've went down and talked to people. The proof is in the pudding. If you read his case file, it's in there. Okay. But people are not standing up because they're getting kickbacks.
That's it. And they're afraid too.
So they
get them little kickbacks and they're
right.
afraid to open their mouth. You got preachers
right.
scared to open their mouth. You got people scared to open their mouth. You got people who you think they're gonna stand up for you afraid to open their mouth. Everywhere
right.
you look, you got people afraid.
Because they don't want to lose their position.
Yeah.
Let me say this. I have to say this, Reverend Pinckney, because today what I have I was discussing this today with one of the church mothers. In our society, we have lost our way. This country was founded in God we trust.
Mm-hmm.
It's on our money. So we trusted to do the right thing by the word of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? And by God, his spirit leading us correctly. But now we are so caught up in the greed. It's about the money. It's about having, holding, possessing. So that is the reason why we fail now to do the right thing, because everybody's getting a kickback.
That's it.
It's not about the kickback.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest thing, I wrote a letter to Washington, and I told him, I says, it was one man greed that destroyed and is trying to destroy this country and has caused not only our people, because they thought that they were just going to hurt us, the black community, which they did. We got the biggest hit, okay, as for the housing and the loss of homes and jobs. But his greed went on and overflowed into their community. That's when it became a crisis, okay? But our area, our city area, rural area, is desolated. Okay, you might have 4-5 homes in a whole 5-7 block radius.
Yes.
Okay, 4-5 homes actually standing with tax-paying citizens. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
That actually own the home.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them are renting, and most of them are on the system.
That's right.
Living off the system. So,
that's great. But listen, I only got 1 minute left. So I got to send a shout-out to my grandson, Blake Williams, Independent High School. I want him to know that we love him, and I want him to keep up the good work, and I want him to stay positive, stay focused on the future, because I'm planning on making sure that there's a future for him.
Uh-huh.
And what they're doing now, they're trying to make sure that there is no future for our children.
So we
are going to have to reach out together, touch each other, and try to build. And remember, it's done with manpower.
Yes.
We don't have the resources to stand up and fight with these folks, but we have the manpower. And that's the message that we want to give out to everybody. And listen, Valerie, you got about 10 seconds. Just say something.
Stand with the people. Come together as a people. Do not let them cower us down.
Great. Libby, you got about 5 seconds. Go right ahead.
Everybody should be hitting the streets.
That's right, hitting the streets. And you said the right word. And we should be doing it together. And that is the show. We're no longer on the air.
Recruit. Oh,
that's
no
it.
Longer on the air.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it. And I will talk to y'all in the future. Valerie,
yeah.
When you get a chance, give me a call. Libby,
okay.
I will talk to you soon.
Okay, right. Bye, everybody.
And look, and let me say happy birthday to my wife. She had yesterday was her birthday. She had a very nice birthday.
Oh.
God is able. She's able, and she's a loving, caring wife, and she do good work, and I appreciate her. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye. Have
Bye
a
now.
Birthday.
All right.